Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
We're the fourth winningest franchise in the league since 2000. All right, that means in the upper quartile of winners, we're in the top quartile of that upper quartile. That's rare air.
Hello and welcome back to the Upper Quartile Podcast. I am your host, Jim Aiello, and I am joined by the Athletic's Indianapolis Colts beat writer, James Boyd. James, we are finally friggin' here, man. Like, we can stop. Listen, I'm not one to complain about my job. I love my job. I know you love your job. But I am ready to stop speculating about what's going to happen in this draft and actually see what's going to happen in this NFL draft. Very excited. We're recording on Wednesday morning, so we just have, 36 more hours effectively to wait here. Actually, a little bit less. So I'm pumped. Like I said, I don't know where you are, but I bet you're in a similar place.
I am very pumped. You know my love-hate relationships with mock drafts, with big boards. It actually is very beneficial, obviously, because it helps you learn more about the prospects that are not named Marvin Harrison Jr. or Brock Bowers. However, it becomes sort of repetitive after a point because I'm like, all right, I could probably name, seriously, 60 to 70 players off the top of my head. I could probably give you the 40 time for like half of them. Or like what's their, arm length and what's their hand size and what was their nickname and this, grade at school or whatever. So shout out to Dane Brugler, our, draft aficionado guru who does all the great things with the Beast, because that becomes my most read piece of anything. And I wake up and read the Bible every day. And so that, Jesus, saved me. But it's like, after I read a couple of scriptures
Bible.
Of the Bible, it's like, all right, now you got to open up the draft Bible, obviously, in the Beast. And so it's been a lot of fun. Obviously, I'm excited about it. And I think more than anything, you just want to, now you've done all the speculation, I've done all the scenarios in my head. We'll talk about a few of those here. And I've enjoyed the back and forth, the debates, the banter, all these things between, me, the fan base. Obviously, when I talk to Chris Ballard and others around the building, it's always fun to kind of try to pick their brain and see if they'll give you any information that you can use later or whatever. But the bottom line is I'm ready to shift towards a more results-based reaction where now it's not like, hey, so-and-so made a mock draft. That was horrible. That was great. Versus the picks are actually real, and now we'll actually be able to analyze what it means for the Colts because, unlike last year, it just isn't as straightforward. I mean, to be honest, we cared about the other picks in the draft, but no one really cared beyond the first one because it was just who's going to be their quarterback of the future, and that dominated so many headlines because it's so important to the team. Whereas this year, they, had a pretty good year in 2023, picking in the middle of the draft, could go either way, offense or defense, could trade up, could stay put, could trade back. So there's a lot of options on the table. And I'm just curious to see which way the Indianapolis Colts ultimately lean.
Yeah, so today in this podcast, we're going to get into, I think, four big discussion topics. We're going to have talk about four type scenarios, mostly for the first round, but kind of a couple of big picture topics as well. And kind of we're going to argue pro and against. So we're going to flip a virtual coin to make one of us take a position that maybe we're not so comfortable with on certain things, which should be a lot of fun. But again, I tried to pick some questions that I think a lot of Colts fans are talking about themselves. And I know we've heard the arguments for and against. I think we can make the arguments for and against, which is part of the plan here. So I'm excited about it. The only thing I wanted to mention before we get into it is this is my meta brain thinking about how I feel like we do all these mock drafts, we do all this prep, and then the draft actually happens, and then everybody gets to say, well, you were right or you were wrong, right? Like this, or this is what happened, and this was like true. Destined yeah. to happen. But it's not, like, I feel like if you did the actual NFL draft 10 times, you'd get 10 wildly different results. Because, yes, certain teams like certain guys, but I don't know, on a different day, they might want to trade up, or they might not want to trade back, or they might want to do this, or might want to do that. Like, there's so much human element to this that I feel like, even though this is not to excuse any mock draft or we get something wrong or we don't know, but it's just funny to think about, like, this is what's set in stone tomorrow and throughout the rest of the weekend. But really, it's just one iteration of what it could have been. Not to get all Doctor Strange on you guys here, but that's kind of, it's just a funny thing to think about, is that we will live in a world where this was the only thing that would have, could have ever happened, when in reality, a lot of things could have happened. So we're going to talk about a lot of different topics, and it's just, yeah, just interesting to think about.
I'll add that I do think that a lot of it has to do with what a team will do to potentially trade up to get a quarterback. So looking at the draft order right now, would Minnesota move up from number 11 to the top 10 to take a J.J. McCarthy, for example? You know, would New England stay put at number 3? Do they take a quarterback? Do they trade back? Like, I don't know what teams are going to do. And I think with most drafts, it depends on what the QB needy teams are willing to go after. And I think once we see that sort of happen, some aggressiveness there, and a few quarterbacks go off the board, then it becomes a little bit clearer as to what the Colts obviously can do at 15, whether they want to stay there, move up a little bit, move back a little bit, all those things. But I think QB will ultimately determine the drafts. And I heard Chris Ballard on the Rich Eisen show the other day saying he hopes 5 or 6 QBs go in the top 10.
Yeah, he does.
He can push some of those players, you know, further down the board. But that's not how it works. That's not how it's going to work in my eyes. I do think that there'll probably be 4, first round quarterbacks, obviously Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and then you have Drake May and J.J. McCarthy. Where they go, I'm not exactly sure beyond Caleb Williams at number 1, but we'll see. I'm excited about that, but I think that's when, for me, the draft, quote-unquote, officially starts, is when it becomes unpredictable, and some team makes a move that you maybe didn't see coming, and you realize, even if you're a GM, I can imagine if you're Chris Ballard, who was lying and who's not, because it's lying season, and no one's gonna, you know, just spill all their cards. And I think that's, we'll get into it, but I think that's why Chris Ballard said some of the things he said and how he said it when we spoke to him last week during his pre-draft news conference.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to get right into it. Here are our big questions now. We're going to start with, here are the ground rules real quick. Heads, James is going to argue for. Tails, James is going to argue against. So the first big question is, or first big scenario, I guess, is Chris Ballard has to get aggressive and go up and get a playmaker in this draft. I'm going to flip the virtual coin now.
Tails.
It's tails.
Oh.
So you were going to argue against trading up, getting aggressive for a playmaker. Why should the Colts be content either to stay at 15 or draft a receiver later in the draft or something like that? But they're not going to move up to get one of the top 3 receivers, or Brock Bowers, we'll say in this case.
Okay, so obviously that is heartbreaking for some Colts fans. Oh my goodness, they will not trade up for Marvin Harrison Jr. or Rome Odunze or Malik Nabers or even Brock Bowers. What are we doing? However, I will say that does not mean that Brock Bowers is completely off the table. I think that the top 3 receivers are gone. But for the sake of this argument, I will say that Brock Bowers is off the board. However, in all seriousness, Chris Ballard praised this wide receiver class, the depth in it. He compared it to 2022 when they had, I believe, Brandon Ayuk, CeeDee Lamb, Michael Pittman Jr., T. Higgins. T. Higgins and Pitt were obviously second round picks. And so all that to say, I think that there are some talented players still left or still available who could change this offense from a passing standpoint. I think that Brian Thomas Jr. is not only a really good player, but, you know, someone who could instantly boost this offense and could, you know, potentially have number 1 caliber receiver talent down the line. Now, is he in that top three group? I don't think so. I think there is a bit of a gap in between him and the other three, but he's a really good player, led the FBS in receiving touchdowns last year with 17, explosive. And I think they need sort of a down the field vertical threat with a bit more in their route tree and a bit more in their versatility than an Alec Pierce, for example. And I think Brian Thomas Jr. can give you that dynamic. I also think that Xavier Worthy is someone I could see the Colts potentially trading back for. Real quick point on Troy Franklin. Good player, a little bit light as far as his weight, which I think that could turn off Chris Ballard. I believe last time I checked, he was like 6'1", a buck 76 or something like that, which isn't...
My only argument against that would be Josh Downs, right? Like, Josh Downs is not huge either, but I guess
exactly
it's possible. Yeah,
right. But it's like, how many times you want to, I guess, roll the dice on that if you can get someone who's a little bit, you know, of a bigger body or a bigger playmaker. And I think Xavier Worthy is a player who, you know, everyone was blown away by the 4.21, I believe, 40-yard dash, you know, all-time record at the combine. But watching his tape, and I'm not some tape guru, but I've watched enough. He is, I think, underrated as a route runner. He's not just some guy who's going to just run. Okay, run straight, and we'll throw it deep to you and hope the defenses have to account for you. That's part of it, but he has some versatility in his arsenal as well and could be a big play receiver. And I think that this is where you trust Shane Steichen so much that you just trust it. Okay, if you give him someone who might be flawed in certain areas, but they're really good at other things, he's the type of coach that will make sure or ensure that player is put in the most optimal position. And so that's why I think that, you know, again, you don't have to trade up to get a playmaker. And I think it's the most realistic scenario in general, to be honest. I don't see Chris Ballard, you know, burning some of his draft capital to move up when he has said on the record and others have said that this is a talented wide receiver class. And the last person I'll hit, because even if you don't go receiver in the first round or something like that, and you go cornerback, which is still, to me, their number one need is a cornerback. You could take, you know, Quinyon Mitchell or something like that. We'll get into that.
That's our next question. Yeah,
I'm sorry. Spoil this, James. But I will say, you know, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'll say, you know, Xavier Liggett's another one I've kind of circled and been big on. People are saying, like, oh, he only had 1 year of production, you know, at South Carolina. I get all that. A little bit older of a player, too. I think he's like 23 already. But he is a dynamic athlete. You know, yak yards after the catch. He's someone who could change your offense as well. And I just keep going back to Dan Brugler saying he gives off DK Metcalf vibes. And obviously, you know, best case scenario, he becomes that 2.0. But even if he has a little bit of that, that could instantly change, I think, this offense. And they need, in my opinion, one more playmaker in that wide receiver room to really make it all kind of work. And obviously, a lot of that is contingent on the health of Anthony Richardson.
All right, here's why I tell you you're crazy and you're wrong, James.
Oh,
first of all, Xavier Leggett, guys like that, you know, listen, Chris Ballard drafted Alec Pierce, big, strong, fast, runs in straight lines. Didn't work out so well. Not my favorite
pick.
Don't need to do that again. Okay, we already have one of those on the team. Big fan of Josh Downs in the slot. Big fan of Michael Pittman on the outside. However, this team, the future of this team, is all about Anthony Richardson. It is giving him the weapon. I'm quoting Chris Ballard here, man. Protect him. Give him the offensive line that he needs. Give him the weapons that he needs to succeed. Do anything you have to do that and make sure he has it. You are, in Chris Ballard's mind, you hope you're never picking this high again. It's not that high, but they're at 15. But they expect to be in playoff contention this year. They expect to be fighting for the division for the foreseeable future. They believe that Anthony Richardson is the dude. So you're not going to be picking this high again, ideally. So go get your guy. Go get the guy that you're going to match up with Anthony Richardson for the rest of his career for the next 10 years and say, this is our number one weapon. You make everyone debates Michael Pittman. Is he a one or a two? Okay, well, you go get this dude. Doesn't really matter. Now you got either 1A, 1B or a 1-2 if you end up going to get Marvin Harrison. I looked at the draft. It is fantasy land. It is crazy to go get Marvin Harrison. But you know what? Let's live there for a second. Let's look at the draft from last year. The Cardinals ended up trading out of number three, and I used the Cardinals at number three because it was the first non-quarterback pick of the draft. The Texans traded up with the Cardinals for Will Anderson. In this scenario, I think the Colts would have to trade up from 15 to 4 to take Marvin Harrison. They would have to give up, just repeating essentially the trade from last year, pick 15, pick 46, their first next year and their third next year, and they get pick number 4 and 138. That's a lot to give up. It is. But if you believe Marvin Harrison is the next Marvin Harrison, then you have to go up. You can go up and get that guy. Now, again, that's a lot to give up. So maybe you want to wait till 8 or 9. You're waiting for Roma Dunze. I love Roma Dunze. I think he is, again, the comparisons you see to him are Davante Adams. I mean, the guy that can do everything for you. I love Michael Pittman, too. Maybe Malik Nabers is a little bit better fit in terms, because you already have Michael Pittman. But go get your guy. You're not going to be up the side. These guys are special, number one type talents. All the other guys you talked about are, again, I like them, but they're come with a lot of question marks.
But and picks, you could have picks. What about the picks?
I don't care. I really don't. I said at this point, like, it and I should. And in a real world, I would say Chris Ballard doesn't do a lot in free agency, so he needs more picks to make sure he hits all the holes they need in the draft. I definitely get that argument for me.
Yes, yes, yes.
But if you go, you keep your third round pick in this scenario, you get Marvin Harrison, you draft your corner in the third round, and you say, let's go. Again, I'm coming from this for me, by the way, you know, growing up in Chicago, the Bears fan mentality. I'm saying the same things about Caleb Williams and then what the Bears should do at pick 9 and with the. If you think you have enough receivers, if you think you have enough offensive linemen to support your young quarterback, go get another one. Go get another one. Just keep adding to it. Don't make sure that that environment is as good as you can possibly make it. And by the way, your coach will love you if you give him Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, or Roma Dunze, or Brock Bowers, by the way. I didn't mention him yet. Totally fine with that. The guy is, I remember a couple of years ago, we were doing a Zoom interview with Jim Irsay ahead of the draft, and the Chiefs had just won their first Super Bowl. And he talked about how important it was and how exciting it would be to get a guy like number 10 and number 87 on his team. He's talking about Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. You can have one of those type players on your team if you get aggressive right now and you go get him. You can get your Travis Kelce, or you can go get your Tyreek Hill, which is, again, nobody compares one-to-one to him, but your number one type receiver, your difference maker for years to come.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF-IN-IOWA. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
All right. I mean, that's a good argument. I think I won. I'll say that. I think the fan base will be like, because most of them want the team to do what you're doing, so they'll say that you won. But, you know, I'll tune them out and say I won. But no, I think.
All right.
In all seriousness, this is just me being selfish and kind of making an argument for you. Look, the writer is never opposed to the team being aggressive and going to get a
content,
player.
Baby.
I'll say that.
Yeah.
So when I have to write and actually give like a real analysis of why I think something may or may not happen, it is not my personal opinion, because this is why I couldn't be a GM. I would give up every pick every year because I'm like, I'll just go get this guy or trade for this guy.
Well, you'd be Les Snead and you'd win championships.
Exactly.
The Rams, right?
Yeah. So, you know, I go buy my championships or however you look at it. But
People value their picks too much. Just go get your guy. No, again, actually, that's the wrong. What the analytics say is people think they're too good at draft. You should trade for more picks. That way you just have more bullets. But
right. Which, again, is the Ballard way, so to speak.
He's right. He's not wrong. Like, trading back, getting more picks, you have more shots of hitting it. I that's not wrong. But in certain cases, when you have special players, I think go get them. So I'm not saying I won or lost in that argument. I do think I got to have the more fun argument. We'll see what happens in number two. Our second question is, the Colts have to address cornerback in round one. They have to go get a starting caliber corner. They, as you've written 100 times this offseason, they got torched by the Texans in their final game. The Texans are loading up. The Titans have loaded up at receiver. They need to have the guys that match up, so they have to go get a number one type corner in the draft. So that's the pro argument. I'm going to flip the coin, and we'll see where James goes. It's tails again. So you're against. They don't have to go get a corner at number 15. So I don't know why you want to spin this. Maybe you trade back. Maybe you take a different position. I don't know. We'll see how you spin this now.
So they don't
have to
get
their corners
are
good enough, I guess.
That's what I'm going to say. I'm going to bang the gavel again, or whatever the word is, when you're in court and you're just trying to get everybody's attention. This is what Chris Ballard was telling us all along, and I guess it would validate that he isn't blowing smokescreen, that he actually believes and the talent of Juju Brents, Dallas Flowers, and or Jalen Jones. And he mentioned, you know, some of the issues that kind of arose last year after the injuries kind of piled up, which is fair. And keep in mind that I hear you, Dallas Flowers, you know, didn't play a lot last year because of the Achilles injury. But when he played, he was pretty good in those four starts. You know, held opponents to 6.1 yards per attempt, a 0.533 completion percentage, 53% completion percentage. So when he played, he was pretty solid. He won that starting job throughout camp last year. He was good. I talked to him recently. He says he's on track to be fully healthy for the beginning of the season. I don't know what that means for training camp or OTAs and stuff like that, but he's on track to be fully healthy by the season opener. And so does that give you enough confidence to go out there and say, hey, we can address offense rather than, you know, defense in the first round and roll with our guys? And it doesn't mean that they have to completely ignore the position as well. They could also go get a cornerback in the second round, third round, someone who can address their needs in that way, a big athletic player, because that's what Ballard likes. But ultimately, I think this is a case of he's taking a risk to say that he's right. And unlike the offensive line, you know, decisions,
I wish you could see James's face right now. I feel like he believes a word he's saying.
I am not believing a word I'm saying right now at all. But I think the argument here would just be offense matters more than defense. And you want to make sure that you align your quarterback. And it doesn't matter what you do unless it's geared towards maximizing Anthony Richardson. Because even then, I think it's more forgivable if you pass up on this position and you say, hey, we should have addressed it. But if you hit on an offensive player like a Brian Thomas Jr. or, you know, someone else in that vicinity, Xavier Worthy, if there is a, you know, by some miracle, Brock Bowers drops, all these offensive players, I don't think anybody would be complaining about, you know, oh my gosh, you pass up on getting a cornerback because you helped Anthony Richardson. Oh my gosh. So we'll see what happens. It is a hard argument to make. I will say that, because I have been banging, you know, the gavel all summer. Like it's a tough one to swallow. However, I think at this point, if this were to happen, you would just have to accept the fact that Ballard is content with his cornerbacks. He knows something that we don't. He trusts them more. They grew up. And he's going to bet on one of those guys being the guy. And then the risk or the reward for that is that you are able to give Anthony another, you know, premier playmaker in the first round. Lord have mercy. I'll let you take it away.
James. This is where I get to argue the side, is because I get to use your own words against you.
I know.
You have been banging the drum all offseason for a corner, and here's why. I'm going to pull up an article that you wrote that I edited.
Oh, man, the receipts. This is like, and it says, this is like searching my tweets.
General manager Chris Ballard likes Colts young running or cornerbacks, but are they good enough for him to bet on? And you lay out, you know, what's going on. But at the end of this story, you list all of the picks that he has made a cornerback over the past.
About that story.
What,
oh my gosh.
7 years.
Ooh.
And here they are. Second rounder, Quincy Wilson. Didn't work out. Second rounder, Nate Harrison. I guess a fine slot player, but didn't really work out. Second rounder, Rocky Sin. Didn't get a second contract with the Colts and is signing for cheap 1 year deal with the last couple of years. Fifth rounder, Marvell Tell. Didn't really work out. Sixth rounder, Isaiah Rodgers. Not going to crush him too much on this. He was developing
right,
fine.
He's back. He's a starter. He's back, okay? He's still good. He's just no longer in Indianapolis for other reasons.
I don't know if he's going to start in Philly. Philly desperately needs corners. I don't even know if he's going to start there.
That's fair.
So, we're going to rely on Chris Ballard's cornerback draft acumen. Are we? In the second, third, fourth rounds of this draft, in order to find a starting corner, we're going to trust that the guys that he's already drafted, Juju Brents now, all of a sudden is going to be the first hit he has as a second-round corner? I don't think so, James. I don't think so. I think Chris Ballard has to throw in the towel, say, I have been missing on these corners for so long, which is crazy, by the way, I will say. He was known for his cornerback prowess back in Chicago, helped draft that incredible secondary. I understand that. But it's been a while, James. It's been a
He's
going to
find
while.
The magic again, Jim. He's going to go back to those Chicago roots, and he's going to come back with something good.
Charles Tillman and Nathan Vasher aren't in this draft, okay? I'm just telling you. So go get yourself, in the second and third rounds and later, I'm saying, go get yourself Quinyon Mitchell. Go get yourself Terrion Arnold. I honestly don't have that much of a preference. I like Quinyon Mitchell a little bit more because of the size and speed, but Terrion Arnold's younger, so I like that at cornerback too. So I like both these guys. I think they both would fit in Indianapolis. I think you need a number one corner. I said this at the beginning of this topic. You can see CJ Stroud, man. That guy looks like he is legit the future of the NFL, one of the best five quarterbacks in the NFL for years to come. He has weapons in Nico Collins, in Tank Dell, in Stephon Diggs. Again, you're not playing for just this year, but those two of those guys are pretty young. And if they bring them back, oh boy, that's going to be tough to defend. You got... And again, if Tennessee, if you get something going with Will Levis and you got Calvin Ridley to deal with and DeAndre Hopkins to deal with, and we'll see if there's rumors they might draft a receiver in this draft. Okay, that's going to be tough. Now in Jacksonville, you got Trevor Lawrence. Again, his receiving core isn't the best right now, but Trevor Lawrence is still a good quarterback. You give him some weapons, you're going to have to be able to defend these guys.
Max Melton, Rutgers, cornerback.
Max Melton, yeah, I just said Max
number
Melton
46.
Like,
all right,
feels like the next Rocky Sin, baby, the next Quincy
sounds
Wilson,
like a Stephon Diggs stopper to me.
I just think, listen, again, this is going against my first argument where you have to get up and go get a playmaker for Anthony Richardson. I think that's your most compelling argument, by the way, is spending it on offense. But outside of that, man, you have to go get yourself a corner. You cannot afford to wait. And I'm sorry, Chris Ballard, but you have not hit on these second and third day cornerbacks. You have to go get yourself one in day one. Get yourself a top tier one. There's a decent chance you're getting the number one cornerback on your board in this draft. I mean, maybe somebody takes one earlier than you at 15, but there's a chance all these guys are there at 15 and you could take the one you like. I think you have to address it now. And again, we talked about the pass rush. They had a lot of sacks last year. They really did, but the pressure was kind of up and down. I don't know. They were in on Danielle Hunter, swung and missed on that. I don't know if they're going to be able to get the same amount of pressure as they did last year. You're going to have guys that are sticky on the outside. Get yourself a number one corner, and you don't have to freak out every time you play against CJ Stroud, Trevor Lawrence, and the rest of the AFC, by the way, because if you do happen to make the playoffs, well, guess what? Here comes Lamar. Here comes Josh Allen. Here comes Patrick Mahomes. You need the corner. Go get one.
Oh, Lord have mercy. This is why, in all seriousness, this is why I don't want to be a GM. I'm like, gee, there's so many things, and it is so hard. I think football has to be one of the hardest sports, probably outside of baseball, to build a championship-level roster, because it's not like basketball where you can just, hey, if we hit on Victor Wembanyama and get, you know, another pick here and he hits, we're a playoff team. That's not how it works here. Like, the Colts have a lot of good players, but they still need, like, some holes filled to be for real. So, I see your argument, but, again, I'm always going to say I won.
You won?
Even when I lose, I win.
2-0?
I'm always going to say that. Yeah, I'm not. This is like when you get the end of the – when I was in college, they give you, like, some feedback. Okay, how was the class? Or what do you think you did well as a student? And they would get or you know, peer grading or grade yourself on this. I always gave myself 100. Like, the teacher going to tell me, hey, you didn't actually do this as well as you thought. Okay, that's fine, but I will not put myself down. I am 100% across the board. So that
hey, if you don't believe in yourself, who's going to do it? Who's going to do it for you, right?
There you go.
All right, third question. We got two more to get to. This is the most Chris Ballardy question of it. So I feel like you're going to end up having to argue for him, because I feel like that's the position you've been in this whole time. Is the Colts need to trade back? They need more picks. They have too many holes to address. They need quality players. They need to get a good corner in there. They need to get a good receiver in there. They could probably use a tight end in there. Offensive line depth. Like, we don't know how Braden Smith, Ryan Kelly, are these guys going to be the future of their positions right now? They could use another running back behind Jonathan Taylor. Lots of needs. Need more high-quality picks. So trade back is the way. Here we go. It is Tails. You're against it. You're against trading back. I feel like this is good. This is... and Tails are all these times in a row.
Well... All right, so I'm against trading back.
You're against trading back. You're sticking and picking, baby.
So the reason I'll say this is because there isn't a whole lot of roster spots available anyways, considering the talent that they brought back in free agency, the picks that you're still trying to see if you're trying to figure out from years past, Nick Cross, Rodney Thomas. If you trade back to get a safety, what does that mean for the safety you already have? You haven't evaluated them yet. You don't know what they're going to do. And so I think you stay put and you hit on the players in your range. And you finally, I think sometimes Chris Ballard can make the argument of, you know, having more darts at the board, you know, means more. And that's true. That works in some instances. But how about you just stay where you are and get some dudes? Like, how about that? Sometimes, you know, when you're swinging all these traits and you want, you know, you're looking at the best case scenario, the reality of a best case scenario is that sometimes they don't work. And that's why it's a scenario. And so look at reality and look what you've seen on film and go get the best players. Now, again, if you look at a draft haul and you say, okay, number 15, we got Brian Thomas Jr. Number 46, we picked up, I'd say this jokingly, but even if you don't, you know, pick up, you know, a cornerback there and you go wide receiver, okay, 46, we're going to go get, you know, an Xavier Liggett, or we're going to go to Troy Franklin. We're going to get somebody else to supercharge this offense. And then in the third round, we go get someone like Cam Hart from, you know, Notre Dame, cornerback, big, long, athletic. We take a swing there to address all of our holes. And again, it's not just us feeling like we can't get our guy, but being so confident in our scouting and in our process that we can stay where we're at, be aggressive, and then change what we haven't done in years past. Because unlike last season and years in the years before, you have a clear future. It's Anthony Richardson. It is now or never, in a sense. And I know that he's got a couple years left in his rookie deal, but I live personally, this is not even like a debate, this is my personal life, you know, kind of moniker, is if you're not growing, you're dying. So if you're not trying to evolve or do something different and take a different approach, I think ultimately you have to at some point stand and fight rather than back up and try to reload. Nah. Trust your scouting. Trust your process. Go get some dudes, because you didn't do it in free agency. And so you can get some guys who are, I think, would be, you know, ultimately when you do have to trade back, you're probably doing it with a player that may not be as NFL ready. And so you want to try to get players that are NFL ready, fill your needs, fill your spots, and you feel good about it. And I think that's about as good an argument as I can make, knowing that Chris Ballard's in his blood. I feel like if you just scan his DNA or you look at his blood type, it's going to say TB, trade back.
Yes. So CBTB. You're right. Trade back.
Is,
there you go.
He is a TB positive. So I don't know about, you know, staying put for the entire draft, but I do think just early on their argument could be made that you stay put at 15, you stay put at 46, and you stay put in the third round as well. And you get your guys. And maybe if you eventually trade back on like day three, like every team does, that's fine. But stick with, you know, your spots and trust your scouting process to get some dudes in there and help you all win, because the rest of the division is moving on and growing, it seems like, and you cannot get left behind because you're trying to figure out, you know, if this guy's relative athletic score is worth, you know, this fourth round pick you're going to give up or something like that. Like, please, enough.
Ego, James, is what you're talking about. Pride comes before the fall. Okay, listen, you can't. Say, hey, listen, I'm a great scout. I'm going to get my guys. You got to just put bullets in the chamber. You got to know that every process is flawed. Listen, this side of the Ravens, no one drafts consistently all the time, okay? This is just what happens. You have to – there's going to be misses. There's going to be hits. GMs are probably, you know, 50-50 most times anyway. Again, the draft's crapshoot. Let's not pretend it's not. Trade back. Get more bullets in the chamber. address the need. We talked about it. I didn't even mention safety when we were talking. They need a safety. They need a corner. They might need a safety. Let's say Nick Cross. They might need a safety. They need a corner. They need a tight end probably of the future. They need a receiver, right? Need a running back to back up Jonathan Taylor. These are needs that you could take multiple swings at if you move back. So here's what I'm saying. You got 19 to 21, I want to say. He said first round grades. You got, I imagine, four quarterbacks are going to get drafted, maybe even five in the first 20 picks. I can't imagine those guys have first round grades. Or at least two of them maybe for the Colts. Trade back, get into the 20s, you know, get to the end of the tier. That's the smartest way to draft anyway. Get to your end of your tier, pick the last guy or one of the last guys you have as your first round pick. Good value there. But then collect picks for the future, man. Keep pick, and listen, I having argued certain things in previous arguments, I will say hurts my cause here, but I will say that he has done a pretty good job when he trades back into the second round. Some of his best drafts have come when he's picking his second round, you know, trading back, got Quentin Nelson at six. That worked out. Second round, he had a bunch of extra second round picks, 2018, Shaq Leonard, Braden Smith, Tyquan Lewis. I'm going to not mention Kamoko Ture. So he had a lot of success in some of the second rounds here. Michael Pittman, Jonathan Taylor. I know he traded up for Jonathan Taylor, but still, he's had success in the second and middle rounds. Get a few of those extra picks. These guys are high quality players. A lot of argument you'll hear is that after the first round graded guys, it's kind of a big glob, right? First top 20 first round grades. After that, it's really more just like 21 to 100, 21 to 50. So get a few more of those bullets in the chamber. And then you can fire away. You're going to miss. He's going to miss. Well, we talked about the misses before. He missed on plenty of cornerbacks before. He's missed on receivers before. He's missed on edge rushers before.
Well, so I remember Jim Irsay comparing Chris Ballard to Michael Jordan in November 2022. So at some point, he's going to have to, you know, give me a push off in Utah and switch something from the free throw line, please.
Michael Jordan's a great analogy here. You know why? Because every time he shot and missed, he just kept shooting again. Just kept shooting. He's just going to keep firing away. So give him more picks. More picks.
Oh, my goodness.
As an editor and as a writer, I will say, no, thank you. That just makes draft night chaotic when we have 14 picks to write about. But yes, in this scenario, I would say analytic community will tell you, and again, I know people don't love the analytic community, but they will tell you, we all overrate our ability to make draft picks. You're not going to get it right most of the time, or, you know, all the time. So the more picks that you have, especially the more high quality picks that you have, the better you are. So trade back in this draft. Hey, maybe collect an extra 2025 pick and stash that away. And then you can use that for trade ammunition if you want, or you get an extra quality player next year, because this year you're trading back. Like, you want to add impact premium talent. I get that. You want to surround Anthony Richardson with impact quality talent. I get that too. But the truth of the matter is, we don't know yet if Anthony Richardson is the dude, if he's going to be the guy. They think he's going to be the guy. We think he's going to be the guy, but we don't know yet. So you don't want to go all in until you see it. And then when you see it and you know, then you have the assets to capitalize. I don't believe what I just said, but that's where I'm at. So
that's the fun. Oh, I mean, we're laughing, but we could not have had any of these debates last year when they were picking number four.
It was just for sure.
Which quarterback are you going to pick? And everyone, at least in the local market, had basically landed on Anthony Richardson. So we kind of knew who it was going to be anyway. So yeah, it's funny to hear this stuff out loud. Like, oh my God, I'm fighting like different versions of myself throughout the draft process. This is not fun.
It's okay. All right. Well, we got one more question. Hopefully, you'll have a little more fun here.
Whew, all right, 3-0.
This one isn't going for this as week. Well written as I would have preferred. But essentially, it is to say Chris Ballard's on the hot seat. He is feeling the pressure. He has to nail this draft, and if he doesn't, that seat is going to get nice and toasty for him. If this is a team that go win 7, 8, even maybe 9 games, but doesn't make the playoffs, Jim Irsay is going to start reconsidering the way he feels about his general manager. Ooh, okay. So the question is, the pressure is on Chris Ballard. I'm flipping the coin right now.
Heads.
It is indeed heads. You get to argue for it. The pressure is on Chris Ballard.
All right. This is the argument.
I'm gonna tell the listeners something real quick. I was planning to rig this so James could argue this point, but it landed heads, so I didn't have to.
All right. So the pressure is on. You're going into year 8. You don't have any division titles. You have 2 playoff appearances. You have 1 playoff win. I understand the unique circumstances of the Andrew Luck retirement. That was 5 years ago. At this point, it's ancient history. You were kept around to bring in Anthony Richardson. You were kept around to keep Shane Steichen. But at some point, we have to look at results because this is a results-based league. You were right there on the doorstep last year, or actually early this year in January. You were right there a yard away from, you know, continuing what could have been a game-winning drive. Didn't work. And now you feel like, you know, it felt like you were this close and you were so close to everyone else. But when you're looking at what Houston did, they were the aggressor. They went out and got some dudes, added some dudes to their roster. They're going for it. You saw the Titans. They went out and put some talent around Will Levis. That way they have no question about who he is as a player, whether, you know, if he succeeds, they'll know. If he fails, they'll know who he is. You, the Colts, have been very conservative with your offseason approach. And I get it. They spent a lot of money, you know, to bring a lot of players back and retain a lot of that talent. But that puts extra onus on this draft to fill certain needs to become a playoff team, which you haven't been since 2020. So if you miss out on the playoffs, or if this team somehow crashes and burns, or the development of Anthony Richardson isn't what it's supposed to be because he doesn't have enough talent around him to succeed, you know, knock on wood here, don't become the Bears, then I think that your job should be up for, you know, reconsideration. I'll put it like that. And I understand.
It's so nice.
Jim Irsay has backed you for, you know, throughout your tenure. He has given you ample support throughout, you know, a lot of different processes. I understand all those things. But at some point, we have to look ourselves in the mirror and say, what other GM would have survived all of this? The coaching changes, the quarterback changes. And so you finally got your quarterback. You finally got your coach in there. These are both long-term answers. You're the one guy. We don't know if you're going to be here long-term. So I think that this is a crucial draft, a crucial season where you cannot fall flat on your face. And the bottom line is, it is playoffs or we are looking for a new GM. Because at some point, again, your record has to matter. I understand he's a great human being. You know, players love him. He gets along with them well. He got DeForest Buckner to stay, which is, you know, I don't know if he put a spell on him. What happened there? But I'm still trying to figure that out. But results, baby. The record isn't great. No division titles. Go out and win the division this year. Hey, keep your job. You do not. We have to consider, you know, applications.
Considering gathering my thoughts here. This is a tough one. Okay. All right.
It's actually not tough. Your answer is actually pretty straightforward. I've written about
it. Well, I mean, my answer, I could just become Jim Irsay here and say that I trust my guy. But I want to come up with an argument that's beyond loyalty, which I think is important, but to be honest, in the NFL is not really a thing. So I'm going to try not to argue something that I don't think necessarily exists. What I am going to argue, he found the quarterback. He got Anthony Richardson. It's in the building. That is very, very hard. You mentioned the Bears, right? We know how hard that is to do. Look at the Bengals before Joe Burrow and all the years they went wandering for quarterbacks. The Jaguars before Trevor Lawrence, all the years they went wandering for quarterbacks. You see these teams that are in the wilderness looking for quarterbacks. The Colts were in the wilderness, right? They had Andrew Luck. They thought that was the guy. Chris Ballard came in. He was one of the best scouts in the NFL. He doesn't need to worry about the quarterback, right? All he's got to do is surround this guy with talent, and boom, Super Bowl contender again. They're back to the glory days of the Colts. And then Andrew Luck walks away, throws him into flux. He does a good job. Got Jacoby Brissett, good, passable quarterback. Goes and gets Phillip Rivers. Hopes that's going to last a little bit longer than it does. Obviously, things go haywire with Carson Wentz. Matt Ryan doesn't work out. But they were in the wilderness, but not that long. Look around the NFL and look how long it takes some of these franchises to find their guys. Chris Ballard found his guy, got Anthony Richardson. Now he gets to do the job he was brought here to do, which was build around a young, talented quarterback.
He better build fast.
We only got to see him play a few games. Listen, the track record, I'm not going to argue against the win-loss record, the division. Like, that's all true, but they were in the wilderness, James. They were in the wilderness. They didn't have the guy. They got the guy now.
They were the Israelites. They did.
He made a mistake. Oh, that's it. The Carson Wentz trade, Frank Reich, Chris Ballard, I don't know. Blame them both. That was a mistake. That was a shortcut. You can't take shortcuts. You got to draft your guy. They went and got their guy. They drafted him. Now he gets to do the job he was set out to do, which is build a roster around an exciting young quarterback. And again, we didn't get to see it much last year, four games. We saw the flashes. Everyone's excited. But now we get to see a full season of Anthony Richardson, and Chris Ballard gets to do what he does best, which is build a roster around a young quarterback. And that's exactly what they had planned. He came from the Chiefs, right? They got Patrick Mahomes, then they built the roster around it, they won championships. I'm not comparing Anthony Richardson to Patrick Mahomes, but that is the plan, right? Draft the guys around Anthony Richardson, build yourself into a consistent contender. This is the job Chris Ballard was brought to Indianapolis to do. This is the job he is now going to do, which is build any, again, like you mentioned, players like him. Free agents want to play here, or guys who are in Indianapolis, I should say, want to play here and stay here. Signed contracts, Michael Pittman, Zaire Franklin, DeForest Buckner. These guys love their time in Indianapolis and wanted to stay. Jonathan Taylor, even though he had friction with Jim Irsay, you know, the mediator of that was Chris Ballard. He stays, he gets paid. So all that, that's Chris Ballard. He has a good relationship with his coaches. He has a good relationship with his players. He's a good person in the community. All those things. I'm not trying to dismiss them, because winning is the most important, but they are important factors. They are important factors. And now he's going to win. You're right. It is. He's got to put it up now. They got to be better. But I will say, not on the hot seat, has the trust of Jim Irsay. We're going to see the quarterback again, hopefully, for the first time this year, see what he needs, see what his strong suits are, see what Shane Steichen can do with him, and continue to build around him. This is going to be the year where everything starts to rise. And then Chris Ballard can kind of do the job again that he was brought to Indianapolis to do, which is build around an exciting young quarterback.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
We gonna see. We're definitely going to see. Now, I'll say this, and it's funny you bring up that he's a great person in the community, which he actually is. Like, Chris Ballard has done some things, and if you all know anything about his history, he really is a good person. But it's funny because 100%. When I read about prospects in particular, and even players, no one brings up, like, their character when they're talking about this person should be paid or not. It's always about, or they should stay here. Right. It's always like, what have you done on the field? Your character only becomes a hot topic when it's bad.
And when
people want to get rid of you, or they're weighing the risk versus the reward, which is so unfair, but it's the reality of this business. It's like, oh yeah, you're a great person, but you dropped that pass, get rid of them. But then if you like catch the pass, you're like not really that good of a person. It's like, maybe we keep them around because we can work with them. And that's just how
it's coaches works. Too. Like Frank Reich's one of the best people I've ever met. Like in terms of like just being a person, great dude. Didn't save his job. Didn't save his job twice.
Exactly. But it's like, you're willing to put up with more, not saying like you should, and I'm not advocating for this at all, like you should employ people who are like genuinely bad people, abusers, stuff like that. NFL's an issue with all those things. But if there is, for example, a wide receiver who inevitably becomes upset or whatever, I guess a good example would be Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs will have a job in the NFL as long as he can go out there and catch 1,000 yards and 7 touchdowns a year. Like, people will put up with whatever as long as you produce. And so, in the Chris Ballard realm of this, got to produce, my man. Like, or else we might not be putting up with you too much longer. Now, this isn't my personal opinion. I truly believe that his job is not on the hot seat. I want to make that very clear. I think that Jim Irsay has given no indication that his job is on the line this season or anything like that. He's here. And I think that was sort of solidified when he was kept around after the 2022 season, drafted Anthony Richardson, hired Shane Steichen. And at this point, I do think that he's going to be here to kind of see this thing through over the next few years, unless, and again, this is a huge if, I don't see the Colts doing this, but just unless they come out and have like this disastrous 2024 season and Anthony is healthy, where it's like, okay, this dude's healthy, but we only won 6 games. Like, what's going on? And so that'll obviously be, you know, be a cause for alarm. But assuming that they have, you know, some growth from last year, or even if they're a little bit of slippage, if they go, they only have 8 wins or something like that, it's not ideal. But I don't think that there will be like some sky is falling and Chris Ballard has to be removed. Even that's what some fans might want. So we'll see. The last thing before we got here, I'll mention is I know we had a question in the mailbag about what's the setup at Lucas Oil, not Lucas Oil, at
West
56th Street. I'll just break it down here for you all, just in case anybody's curious. So for us reporters, we're not going to the draft. I know some people are. It's in Detroit this year. It's drivable, but there's no reason for us to really go. It's more convenient and more feasible just to kind of be in the media room at the team facility at West 56th Street. So the way it is, you go in the media room, and I'll probably take a picture of it when I get there tomorrow and just send it out so everyone can see. We have 2 TVs on the wall that are usually off when the people come in because there's just press conferences and stuff like that. We're writing, but they'll be on throughout the draft. All of us will have our laptops open, you know, screen time will go up immensely. And then from there, we already got sent the links for these Zooms. So every day we have a different Zoom link that we have to log into. So basically, once the pick is in, we'll have about 10 minutes after we see it on TV or after we see it on Twitter to kind of research the player. Okay, where is he from? Who'd they pick? Here's the background on him. Obviously, it's easier in the first round than it is for later rounds. The later rounds, the beast comes in handy a lot because I can just search the name, and Dane Brugler has the guy's life story written out for me already, so, which is awesome. And then, like I said, no 10 minutes, you're just researching the player. Usually, they'll get them on Zoom right away. We'll get them on Zoom. They'll be on there for 5 to 10 minutes. We'll ask a few questions. We'll record that. And then from there, it's just a cycle of doing that over and over again. So the first day isn't too heavy because they're probably only going to have 1 pick. The second day, not as heavy again. They might have 2, 3, maybe 4 picks. That last day is the hardest day because it's the longest day. Draft starts, I think, at like noon. You're there all day. They do feed us. They cater food in, which is awesome. Don't have to go anywhere. It's just that you're with, you know, the guys on the beat for a long time, longer than usual. And I see these guys all the time during the season. This is the one time of the year where I'm like, I'm sick of seeing you and I love you. But, you know, but it is, well, I'll finish it off by saying this. I do appreciate the fact that I actually like the people I am, quote unquote, rivals with. Like, I enjoy being around the guys in the media room. There's a lot of laughter, a lot of jokes, a lot of just sitting around and waiting for the pick to happen. We all get our work done when that happens. But when we're just kind of sitting there and they're, you know, okay, they've got 20 picks before the Colts pick again, we're usually just, you know, working, cracking jokes, giving each other a bunch of crap, and eating, you know, some good food. And then to end off the last day, they usually will have, you know, Chris Ballard talk, Shane Steichen talk. I'm not sure if Ursay, he's not going to be in the draft room this year. However, I'm not sure if he'll be available via Zoom or something like that, but I'm sure we'll hear from him at some point about the draft picks and things like that. But that's usually how it goes. And then they also bring out, which is the coolest part of the year, really, they bring out the scouts who, you know, basically knew these players for a few years and maybe stood on the table to draft them or made the argument to pick them. We get to pick their brains as to why they chose certain players. I remember last year we asked one of the team scouts, hey, why'd you pick Josh Downs? And he was like, because he's like a hiccup. He's so quick and you know, because you can't guard him. And the only time you can guard him is when you're on the bench. Or, you know, or only time you can get some rest when you're on the bench, you know, get some water because he's a hiccup. He's a water bug. And so you hear that some of that analysis, that's always enlightening. It kind of gives you some background knowledge of the players. But that's usually how it goes. It's a pretty easy setup. And like I always tell people, as long as I'm fed, life will be good. So I'm looking forward to it. I'll be excited about it. And, you know, feel free to tweet your draft reactions. I'll do my, hopefully I'll do the, you know, GIFs only thing that I do to hear everyone's reactions to the picks after they're in. So I'm excited about that, Jim, for sure.
For sure. Actually, funny enough, you mentioned all that. I didn't experience any of it. I covered 2 drafts, both COVID, home, didn't get to do it. So, yeah.
Ooh, tough. No, that's never, one. Okay, nah, I don't want to cover a draft by myself. Like, yeah. I complain about seeing those guys too much, but I still rather have some company through, like,
oh, for
the
sure.
monotony of the draft. Like, oh, no, I don't want to be at home.
Uh-uh. It was, not my favorite thing, but also, you know, it's okay. Like I said, it was just different. All right, before we get out of here, I have one more question for you, but I want to plug everything else that you're doing, the Athletic's doing. James just put up his top 40 big board that will get updated throughout the draft, so you guys won't have to, you know, it won't expire. We'll have a new file for you, a new thing to look at after day one, so it'll be all their day two and day three targets, and then on day three, James will have more day three targets for you so you can know who they're looking at and why. So that'll be good. We got the Beat Writer mock draft is up. I should say that the main show, the Athletic Football Show, will be live during the draft for the first 2 days. You guys should tune into that. Dane Brugler will be there with Nate Tice and Robert Mays. I think Diana Rossini is going to be on there some. He'll have other guests. It's going to be a great time. I will be tuned in and watching that as we watch the draft to get live reaction from, again, some of the best in the business. Listening to Dane Brugler and Nate Tice break down prospects is just incredibly enlightening and fun. So definitely check that out. And again, James will have all kinds of coverage from the draft. But we don't know what kind of coverage he's going to have until right now, because I'm going to make James make his final prediction for the Colts pick at number 15, okay, or trade up or trade down or whatever. But, you know, right now, right, I guess I would say he's probably going to say they stick at 15. So on the record, final choice. Decision. I know you did this on the radio the other day. Are you going to change it up? Or are you going to stick with it?
This is actually, okay. So I believe on the radio, I think they said, I don't know what I said at this point. I feel like it was so many days ago. So we're going to scratch that from the record. I believe I said they're going to go offense.
Okay.
But I'm leaning towards Chris Ballard was blowing a bunch of smoke, and they're going to get a Quinyon Mitchell at 15. Toledo cornerback, hard-nosed guy, Senior Bowl guy. Big RAS score, you know, it's in the nines. And I think that he fits their biggest need. And I'll even add that this is because Brian Thomas Jr. isn't there at 15. And we see some of the pass catchers go a little bit early. And so that means Bowers isn't there. And again, Thomas Jr. isn't there. The top three receivers aren't there. And so you're looking at, do we stay put? Do we trade back? You stay put. You get a guy who fills what you need. You get a dog, is what I've seen on tape, and you roll from there. So that is my final prediction. I guarantee that I'll be right. And if I'm wrong, I was hacked.
Speaking of being right and wrong, tweet at James. You can include me in the tweet if you want, but tweet at James and tell us who won some of these arguments. I don't care which one you pick or what, but I want to hear if you took a side on one of those, if you were convinced one way or the other. I want to hear it.
This is true. I will say, remember who is your beat writer, who is with you in the trenches. You know, remember who is with you. But I'll say this draft is already starting off a little better for me than last year, because if I do recall, I have not called any potential Colts picks projects. So maybe I can finally get rid of the project joke after a year of it hanging over my head and everyone reminding me not to say that.
Did you predict Richardson last year? Or was that who your guy?
Yeah, he's my pick. But also, when the pick was in, Jim, Lord, did I. My mentions were flooded with, what you going to say now? Oh, he coming for you. And so, you know, seeing a big, very muscular young man who's upset with your question actually get drafted by the team that, you know, you cover was humbling, to say the least. So I think me and AR have squashed our beef since then. But looking forward to obviously meeting the new people that the Colts bring in, because ultimately it is a dream come true. And I can't, you know, in good faith be upset about whatever pick they make, because they know more than I would ever know. And ultimately, I think that it's a cool moment for the players. And so that kind of always keeps me grounded throughout, again, what feels like a monotonous cycle, is just realizing that someone that they're going to pick has realized a dream that very few, you know, people have ever done. So it is kind of cool to see that unfold in real time. So looking forward to it. And it's going to be a lot of fun. It should be a good time. And again, it's a mystery this year more than it was last year, which adds the layer of excitement.
Unless they trade up for Marvin Harrison Jr., it's a huge mistake and they fail the draft. That's all I'm going to say. All right. That's going to be my last line. That'll be the last for the podcast. We will talk to you guys later, probably early next week, to recap everything that happened in the draft. Very excited to do so. Thank you for joining us. We'll talk to you later.